Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Well, thanks so much for staying with us. It's 2 minutes after 9 o'clock. I've asked a senior lecturer in childhood studies at UCT, Dr. Rose Anne Reynolds, to weigh in on what Professor Jansen had to say. As I said earlier, lots of debate being opened up here. Thank you very much for making time for us, Dr. Reynolds. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you so much, Pamela. I'm happy to be here with you.
So, your thoughts on the suggestion by Professor Jansen that we need to review and reconsider the purpose of homework and whether it's actually doing anything to help us achieve our objectives?
So, actually, there are a couple of things I disagree with in the article, but that's something I do agree with. I do think that homework is problematic. It's actually, I was a teacher for many years. I worked at a school. I'm working in the learning support department, and actually that became one of the, it's quite a complex issue, and we actually need to start asking different questions about why we're doing homework. Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, your thoughts on what you disagreed with?
So, well, I suppose maybe one point is that I disagree that homework is a middle-class concept because I think that, ironically, one of the things I discovered in my teaching, and I suppose I was working, and also, you know, we need to obviously problematize the idea that middle class isn't condescending and low and above, et cetera, or whatever that may mean.
Yeah.
But often what I would find is homework is almost became a place of school-sanctioned violence in families, where that would be the time where parents would be shouting at their children, hitting them. Mm. All this kind of negativity around what should be something fun, something I should be learning, a way to extend my interest in the world becomes something quite negative, actually. And so, yeah, so that, and if you're suggesting that's what's happening in families where the lights are on and there's food, but that's this other kind of quite dark aspect of homework that we really need to be thinking about. Why this, and also this idea that it's often associated with kind of a wrong answer or one answer, that's also really problematic in terms of how we think about schooling. But sorry, maybe go back
No. I mean, I think the conversation should be broader than his article. And I want to probe a little bit more on what you think when you mention the fact that we should be asking different types of questions. And what are your suggestions there?
Well, I mean, I think if you think about it, I'll just listen to your tiny little advert. I mean, this is, school is about the world. And so we act as if school is about this one space, you know, and it's not always a safe space or a nice space, but it's this one space. And you come home and you're supposed to kind of remember what you did and try and figure out what you were learning. And then you get told, I don't know if all homework exercises are thoughtful. I don't know if all exercises that teachers provide actually consolidate skills. Mm. And so what we should be doing is helping young children, older children, teens, to think about ways that they can be learning all the time. How do they tell stories? How can they practice their thinking when they're at home? How can they problem solve? How do we play with numbers? How can we encourage, how can we help them be encouraged to be curious about what it is they want to learn? That's what we need to be doing with homework. It can't be filling this thing, hope you get it right, or otherwise you're going to detention, which kind of is the, you know, we sort of have that trajectory, or a, oh, you didn't do your homework and that's why you don't know something. But actually the point of school is to learn. And so if I don't know something, that's not a problem. I should be helped to learn it. And maybe one other thing is also sometimes homework exercises presume that everyone is on the same level.
Mm.
And you know that. I've spent a lot of time working with children who learn differently, who learn in diverse ways, neurodivergent children, those with learning difficulties, those who may have some anxiety around having to learn an oral to do it at school the next day. So we also, you know, we're not solving a particular problem by giving everyone the same homework, even whether they are doing it or not doing it. And also, you can imagine I had to do some, I mean, it's interesting how we think about homework. I had to prepare, obviously, to be on the radio this evening, and I had supper this evening with my two children, what, 21 and 8, 17, I asked them their ideas, and my daughter was saying she's 17, she said, you know, it's interesting, sometimes when your answer's wrong, then actually what does that say about, you did that yourself, you were trying to learn, you were doing something, and then, again, it's a very narrow focus in school, and my suggestion is, how do we help, even if something's wrong, how do we ask the right questions about the things we get wrong? Because that's what helps us to learn. I need to know why something's not working in order for me to figure it out.
Often people speak of time limitations in the classroom, which is why sometimes the idea of homework sort of, you know, extends the learning outside of the hours that are limited in the classroom. Do you buy in that? Do you buy the fact that the extended hours are going to be helpful? Will others say, you know, do we take into consideration whether the children can actually concentrate beyond the 7 hours that they've been at school any further?
Exactly. I think that the time they spend at school should be spent, maybe, you know, we need to be thinking about doing that differently. I definitely don't think that more time doing something. Absolutely, they should be reading. Absolutely, they should be thinking. They should be reading, speaking in their mother tongue, especially if they're not doing that in that language at school. But you don't need hours and hours extra. So what we are doing is we're not valuing what children are actually doing. They're actual human beings that are living in the world, that are experiencing the same pain that we're feeling, the same trauma that adults feel, the same anxiety around what's happening in the world. We have genocide happening on our continent and further afield. There are wars. They know what's happening with USAID. Very young children know what's happening in the world. And so we almost don't, you know, so we think, okay, they need more time to just do this very decontextualized thing. Why don't we spend time doing the things that are bothering them, the things that matter, that help them become the citizens we're trying to create in this world? Because that also needs to be a focus of schooling, not just, okay, they need more time to practice something they should learn in school. And so we do need to rethink that, you know, how we are thinking and working with time in school and at home.
Dr. Reynolds, a lot more seems broken in our education system than just homework. And I accept that perhaps now we are starting to have conversations now around early childhood development phases, and we are starting to think of school holistically rather than the matric results. But in your view, Are we looking at everything that needs to be addressed to get this education system, you know, sort of turning the tide? Because we've been speaking a lot, we are throwing a lot of money, but it's not getting the results that we're hoping to get.
I think one thing we're not doing, and this is the kind of the work that I'm doing, is we're not asking children or young people what they think. Hmm. We have never done that. We still haven't done it. At the end of apartheid, we didn't stop and go, okay, hold on, what's happened? What went wrong? Let's think about how we can reimagine this country. We did reimagine it, but we didn't include the children. And even now, I mean, I was even thinking for tonight, we could, well, maybe not tonight necessarily, but maybe over the next couple of days, I would encourage you to invite a young child to talk about the experience of homework, a teenager to talk about the experience of homework. We actually have to start listening to young people and children because they do know better. They are currently experiencing it. We experienced it when we were at school, but we actually need to start changing. School should be about children, not just for them. And so it takes a lot of energy. It takes a different way of thinking, it takes empathy, and you actually need to take children seriously. And I think that's a component. I mean, there are lots of people who are often just behind work, and we need that. We need research, we need academics, we need NGOs, etc. But we also really need to include children in this conversation and find out from them what works, what doesn't work, what could we do differently. That's my strong opinion.
In an ideal world, it would be wonderful to take a child and allow them to read, observe the world in a different way, and digest it and engage with it, as you alluded to earlier on. But some of our children go back to dysfunctional homes, homes that are not structured that way, homes that are violent, and then all of that. How do we then create that balance where the content of what is happening at home is enriching?
Say the last word, the content of what's happening.
It's enriching. So it's you know, it's adding to the education that we're hoping that they will consume.
So I know you, I mean, I do probably sound like an idealist, but I think I'll answer your question in two parts. The first part is we need to be able to say that for children whose home families are dysfunctional, where there is, you know, children, we know they're living in poverty, we know about child-headed households, etc., etc. Those children shouldn't be sent homework and then have it used in a punitive way when they get back to school. When we know that that's the reality. That is it's cruel. That is cruel. It's basically punishment, and it's putting a child at a further disadvantage, and we know that. And so one of the things we should be doing is thinking about how we're getting children to and from school. I mean, if you know, how do we think about scholar transport? But then the second part of that is also that we need to be not... This is my disagreement about working class and middle class. We can't pretend that every home where children are living in poverty isn't rich with a culture and with family and with love. You also have to be careful about always making that distinction as if those with money are living in homes where they're getting fulfilled all the time. I mean, that's part that I struggle with. And so I think we need to keep troubling the idea. It's not just all children, and there are demarcations, but we have a responsibility. And maybe a practical thing is the first thing I said about thinking about children in poverty differently and saying, okay, well, what does this mean when we're sending this homework home, or when a child arrives late and they come in a taxi and they have to go to detention? I mean, that doesn't make any sense either, and yet we continue to, you know, all those sorts of things happen all the time. Or, I mean, I just listened to your interview with Professor Jansen now, a child who needs to spend a day at a clinic, etc. So we just have to, and it may take more time, but we need to start making all of that matter in our education system as we think about it. We can't say, oh, we'll talk about homework and then we'll talk about the curriculum. We actually have to do this very hard work of complexifying what it is we're trying to, you know, sort out in inverted commas.
I heard earlier, and we didn't invite them, but the education spokesperson, basic education spokesperson, respond to Professor Jansen's article, and they were not convinced. And that's me putting it lightly. Are we ready to listen to other inputs? You spoke specifically of children, whether the fact that we're not even taking children into bringing them into this conversation. But are we ready to engage with the difficulties and the loopholes in our system? Do you get the sense that government, let me call it that, government is ready to sort of engage better with some of the inputs?
I suppose that's the problem. And, you know, it's kind of one spokesperson and, you know, they have maybe a party line to hold or a belief that says, well, this is what we can do. I think that we need to keep asking, I'm not sure, I suppose, if, but I can't speak for all government.
Because
So I'm not going to take the easy way out. But I do think we need to be having, you know, there are schools that have actually done away with homework policies. There are schools that don't do homework. There are schools, but I mean, that's possibly one of the small things. Our bigger issues are our, you know, structural inequalities, our apartheid legacies, you know, our spatial geography, which means children are traveling 50 kilometers, 40 kilometers to get to school or walking to school. So I do think we're going to have to start, we hope, I would hope that everybody's ready to start talking about, and maybe just thinking about this, because that's really what we need to be doing, asking different questions about what it is that needs to change in the education system. And I would hope that some members of different parties or different government officials are ready to sort of go, okay, wait, what's actually going on? Why is that the case? And maybe something, I mean, I know I teach young people who are, or maybe young older people, I teach teachers who are in schools because I convene our honors program, and they, in the Western Cape, for example, some schools which are considered underperforming, and whatever that means, they spend even more time at school. They're there quite late, they're there on a Saturday. So there's this idea that children need to spend more time at school in order to do better. And in some cases, I would agree that maybe an after school program that is, you know, that has somebody helping, supporting, that works. But again, when children are traveling to school and aren't able to, you know, stay after school, then we need to think about how can we involve churches, mosques, schools, anybody else, other organizations that can create spaces where children can go and work and be in places where they can read in the afternoon. Are our libraries encouraging children? Are they, you know, we've got public libraries, et cetera, et cetera. So we actually start making, you know, ensuring that there are lots of spaces where young people can learn if they aren't able to necessarily do this at home. But we do want... it's not a bad thing to be able to say, oh, wait, I want to go somewhere in the afternoon and sit with my friends and ask questions or play Ludo or games or Monopoly or et cetera, or, yeah, whatever it is The other ways that children are able to learn. Yeah.
You've obviously heard the criticism now, becoming quite loud on the education of educators themselves, that it's inadequate and something has to happen there. Your thoughts on that?
Look, I think it's not a bad thing to keep supporting. We have students saying, well, we don't have enough time to learn about inclusion and diversity. How do we help children with ADHD, et cetera, et cetera?
Yep.
So, you know, we need to think about children on different genders. How do we think about diversity in all its forms? And I agree, we do need to spend more time in our really taking seriously. But I was standing outside on the main road last year when our Western Cape Education Department was cutting the funding and saying education costs money. Mm. We have to prioritize it. We have to prioritize spending money on teachers in this country to train them and to pay them when they're teaching and to support our children in schools. Unfortunately, it is something that is important, and we do need, you need quality teachers in classrooms. And I think teachers are trying. I have a lot of respect for teachers working long hours trying to do what they need to do, but it is a very difficult job.
Sure. I really appreciate your take on all of this. A senior lecturer in childhood studies at UCT, Dr. Rose Ann Reynolds. I think we need to talk more about education. I think really we shouldn't be waiting until December before we have serious conversations about education. I'll think about that a bit more. Maybe we'll do something regular. But thank you very much, Dr. Reynolds.
Click kaya959.co.za. This is how we do it. To download the Point of View podcast.